leave because it's Friday afternoon and it's the place to be. So come on by and see us at Innisfree Irish Pub right here on University as we broadcast every Friday during the football season. Matt Coulter, Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker, and Lars Anderson. Well, it's as expected, kind of light. Drove straight through campus. Only I missed one light coming down University. That was kind of nice. But
it's nice.
But most people are headed home for Thanksgiving. When you were here, didn't we get off like Tuesday or Wednesday? We didn't get the whole week. No. There was no fall break.
No, we didn't get the whole week. It was just the.
You go on Wednesday. On Wednesday.
Leave on Wednesday.
Yeah. These kids today.
Technically speaking, the campus is open for business on Monday and Tuesday. However, because such a large percentage of the students are from out of state, a lot of them leave this Friday, left yesterday, or
so
today.
They don't care
today.
About Monday and Tuesday classes. They're cutting your
class.
Well,
those of us who teach on Tuesdays, myself included, you end up canceling class on Tuesday evening at 6 because they're going to be gone anyway. So I understand, it's a ghost town here. It's a ghost town.
Yeah,
but that means you can get quick service. I saw when we walked in there, they got the lucky lunch up.
Right.
And you can order straight off that, or they'll give you a little ticket and you can just sign off and you get your meat and 3 for $9.99 and all is good. Of course, they got the bartenders and the servers here are always extremely polite and they'll be glad to see you, as will we. All right, 45 and a half. I want you to get your prediction right off the top, Laura Lee. Does Bama cover? 45 and a half.
Yes. Okay. Well, and even last week, I said my score was 45-13, and everybody was like, "You're
good.
Out of your mind."
And it should have been. It should have been 14. That was a fumble to go on.
Turns out you didn't have your crimson colored glasses on last week. You were right on.
Yep.
Close enough. And I did win the family bet, so I won $1.
$1.
$1
big
per
stakes.
Person per game, and then we settle up at the end of the season.
So it could accumulate to $100 or so, right? Maybe. I don't know how many are in your family. How many are in this?
I mean, it's just 6 of us. Adults, and then, you know, so.
Are you in the lead?
No. We're all kind of right in there because when we choose scores, most of us are all like right in there together. Yeah. And so if you miss it by a point or two or three, but I was the high score, so by a long shot. So
I in no way think that Alabama is in jeopardy of getting beat tomorrow. Okay. So just, I'll put that out there. But Laura Lee, since you have been going to games, what is the biggest upset on the wrong end of the side that you have been on?
Good question.
In Bryant-Denny Stadium.
In Bryant-Denny?
Yeah. The most disappointed, maybe.
Well,
or most surprised.
One of them was LSU, but then we got them back and won the national championship.
In 2011, the 9-6 game. Yeah.
Yes, but... you know, Texas this year is really hurting us.
Yeah, it is.
So,
it continues to sting. Every time we see one of the rankings come out,
I'd say
Longhorns.
Today, if we played it today or even a week ago, that's a different game. But we played them the second game in the season, so we're stuck with it.
Guys, I would like to give just sort of a 30,000-foot perspective on where we are right now with the college football playoffs.
Explain it to me, Lars.
So there's 5 undefeated teams left right now. Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, Florida State, and Washington. Obviously the Buckeyes and the Wolverines play each other next weekend. So there can only be a maximum of 4 unbeaten teams when the college football playoff committee makes its final selections on December 3rd. All right, so what's going on this weekend? Michigan and Ohio State are not in any danger, most likely, of losing tomorrow. Michigan has Maryland. Alabama fans, you want Tua's little brother to go big. I don't think it's going to happen. Ohio State is playing Minnesota. Minnesota is a pretty strong team, but I don't think they are going to present much of a problem for the Buckeyes. So I fully anticipate, and I think most people do, this isn't rocket science here, son of a rocket scientist, Matt Coulter, that Michigan Ohio State will be undefeated going into next week's showdown in Ann Arbor. All right, Georgia, the number one team in the college football rankings right now. They are playing number 18, Tennessee. Georgia is a 10-point favorite on the road in Knoxville. I think we all agree that Georgia most likely should win that. Florida State, they are playing North Alabama. North Alabama is currently 3-7 playing against an FCS schedule. They are not going to put up any fight at all against the Seminoles. The key team to watch this weekend is Washington, right? They face a very difficult challenge on the road against number 11, Oregon State. And we talked about this yesterday, Matt, that the Beavers are the betting favorite in this one, anywhere from a 1 to a 2.5 point favorite. And Oregon State, they've beaten Utah, UCLA, and Colorado this year. It's their only two losses to Washington State and Arizona have been by a combined 6 points. They have one of the best offenses in the country, led by the quarterback transfer from Clemson, DJ.
They call him DJU.
Yeah, I can't. I'm horrible at
Uncle
enunciating.
A or something.
And they have they have a good defense. So for Alabama, you definitely want Oregon State to upset the Huskies, and then you'd hope that the Pac-12 just kind of eats itself, and it would open up a slot for Alabama if Alabama runs the table and ends up beating Georgia in the SEC championship game. So really, the game to watch is tomorrow night, 6:30 Eastern, ABC. Washington, Oregon State.
Two games to watch.
Well, also, yes, Texas and Iowa State.
And I think that could be a tough
Texas
game for
is,
Texas.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, so Texas is going into Ames, Iowa. Iowa State, they are really tough to beat at home. I've spent many afternoons and evenings in that stadium in Ames, especially in November when it gets cold, it gets windy, and you have a Texas team that doesn't necessarily like playing in that weather.
What's the kickoff time at Iowa State?
7.
I believe it's, 6:30 or 7.
That's going to cause Texas some problems, because I looked at the weather this morning, and their lows are like 25. Their highs are like 55. So at night there, it's going to be like, 40 when they kick it off? And that's tough if you're guys from Austin, Texas. I don't care who you are. It's going to affect your style of play. But I'm not on y'all's bandwagon there. I think Texas goes in there and takes care of business and covers.
They might.
I don't
but
want
I'm
it.
Just saying that there are two games to watch, and I think the way Washington has been playing, I think it's highly likely they get beat.
Yes.
That would be a beautiful thing for us Bama fans. But the Texas game.
The Texas thing, yeah, you know what? That is just
we
sort
need
of been,
it. We
it's
want
been hanging,
it.
It's been hanging over Alabama. And, it certainly hasn't been hanging over the players, because they are completely dialed in. And right now, I don't think any team in the country wants to play Alabama. But there's that head to head against Texas, and what Alabama, the worst case scenario, Matt, is winning that final slot in the playoffs. If it comes down to Texas v. Alabama, even if Alabama gets all the style points and passes the eye test, they beat Georgia, there still is this little fact that Texas came into Bryant Denny and beat Alabama by 10 points.
Wasn't there kind of an unwritten rule that you gave points to teams that improved along the season? Alabama has not been gifted that. Now, maybe that's because they've changed the rules and that black smoke-filled room or whatever it is, but it doesn't seem like Alabama's getting any points for beating Tennessee, LSU, and then going on the road and waxing Kentucky. And maybe that's the way it is now, but when we get back, I've got a million-dollar question for both of y'all, and I've been thinking about it this morning, and I don't know if I've flipped on this thing about Georgia. We are live. What are you going to order today? We didn't get pickles yet, did we,
Marlene? No, we hadn't ordered
all right,
them yet.
We got to get pickles, and then I forgot last week I went with the Kaneka sausage and all that.
It's Kaneka for me today.
Okay. I'll go with that. It's a meat and three. It's a lucky lunch, and it's available at Innisfree, the Irish pub, 25 years best bar in Tuscaloosa. We'll be right back here. Hope to see you too.
Are you ready?
100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky becoming mostly cloudy this afternoon. The high today 69. Cloudy tonight. The chance of a few passing rain showers. The low 54. Tomorrow becoming mostly sunny. The high 67. And Sunday, a sunny day with a high at 66. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From T-Town to the plane. This is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
It's the Friday place to be. We are at Innisfree. Please join us. We were just discussing what we might order for lunch, and we'll put that off the menu order in here in just a second. But it's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama broker, and while we've got a minute coming out of here, Laura Lee, let's just go ahead and talk about what's going on in your world as far as real estate, and is it soft, is it, you know, last week you were as optimistic as I think I've heard you most of the season. Things good?
Yes. The holidays have a tendency to be a little bit slower, but we have buyers out there, and I've always been very consistent in sales this time of the year, and what's great about it is that you have less buyers out there during the holidays, and really up to in Tuscaloosa, the gates start opening after the national championship. You know, it always happens. It's kind of slow, but you'll see listings and you'll see people buying and whatnot. But then come mid-January and you start seeing more. Now, having said that, not competing with a bunch of buyers right now. Sellers are negotiating more. You're seeing not necessarily negotiating as much on the sales price, on the listing prices, but on the terms of the contract. So, and what I mean by that is closing costs or a home warranty or a termite bond or, you know, things of that nature, because I always tell people there's a whole lot more to negotiate than just the sales price. Closing dates, you know, allowing people to stay in the homes to find a home, or you might want a 45-day closing instead of a 30-day. Those things that can be important. And interest rates, what the data came out with the CPI and the PPI. CPI was showing that inflation was holding steady and had gone down a little bit. That does not mean prices go down. Now I'm talking stock market and economy. That doesn't mean that you're going to see your prices go down in the grocery store or retail or anywhere else like that. It means they're not rising as fast. So all that data and the PPI came out right after that and underscored, yes, we're going in the right direction. So what does that mean for the housing market? Well, that means that the Fed was going to hold the rates steady. We expect them. We may not see any more rate hikes. That's what this information and data says. And now the mortgage brokers are coming out saying we may see rate cuts as early as May. So that's all, you know, that's just a projection.
Is that why the market has just been on a skyrocket here for the last couple of days?
Last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And we'll see today where the stock market ends, but that would be, you know, 3 week rise, which I'm, as you know, that was my first love and my first job, you know, my first career, and I'm expecting stock market wise for it to continue to go up through the end of the year. That's what we're looking at.
So all across the country, high school seniors are making their decisions right now of where to go to college. And let's say there's a young man in Texas, and he has decided he is going to come to the University of Alabama. And his parents are like, well, maybe we should buy.
Yes.
Rather than move our son into a dorm here in Tuscaloosa. Are you seeing that happen as a pattern, that people from out of state are buying?
In state and out of state. And now freshmen, unless you get an exception, they have to live on campus the first year. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, so if they want to buy a condo or a house and they're from out of state, that doesn't mean they don't buy it now. It's because parents can use it for game day, yeah, or, you know, whatnot.
I keep hearing that over and over from my students.
It's less expensive.
My neighbor did it. They're from California.
Yes. It's the rent.
Have those proven to be good investments?
Yes, because the rent here is so high.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about having an asset and paying, you know, less money for that asset and then being able to turn around and sell it. And a lot of these kids may stay here 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, you know, and continue their education.
Only your parents wish against that.
Well, that's true.
A lot of them, you know, they succeed,
but
with
there's good
children.
Graduate degree programs.
They have multiple kids, and these houses our housing prices are not going down. They're holding steady. So 5 years from now, that asset will have grown, and you have equity in that. Now, are we going to see what we have seen the last 3 years, where houses jump up 20% a year, 10%, 15%? No. You're going to go back to an average. Over the years, it's typically 3 to 5%, closer to 3% a year. It just depends on the area that you live in and what type of housing, whether it's a condo or a single family home, that sort of thing.
Just in the last 5 years, guys, you know, I always park when I'm going to work here to teach at Reese Pfeiffer, which is the building right next to Bryant Denny Stadium. And so I'm parking just somewhere always around Bryant Denny. And the amount of growth and building in upper end, like condos, in the last 5 years has just been amazing to me.
Amazing.
And those are not losing their value, by the way.
No, they're not. And those, a lot of those condos are game day condos,
yeah,
not necessarily students. I mean, you know, and it may be if you're from Texas and have that oil money, you're going to come in and buy a place at Park Place for $750,000. But most of what we call the student condos are, you know, that you can get, depending on the size, in the high 100s to the 300s, kind of depending on which ones you want to go in.
Of the condos you see around Bryant Denny, what is the occupancy rate, say, in August? The ones that are already purchased, are people not living there because it's just a game day experience?
The one that is at Westgate, which is right next to Bryant Denny, that's a little bit different. Those, and it's the only one in town, and you call them a condotel. And what a condotel is, a cross between a condominium complex and a hotel. Because they have rental units in Westgate that you can come in and rent for the weekend. And if you're an owner, you can game day rent because it's like a hotel. Now, that also requires separate types of financing, not your typical.
Really? I was not aware that
yes.
that was a thing.
It is down at the beach. So if you go down to Gulf Shores
so
and you
thing?
See like Phoenix, the yeah. you know, those are condo hotels. Okay.
And okay, I got it. That explains
yeah,
it perfectly.
And Westgate's like the only one in town.
In New York City, where you and I have lived before, there are some places that you can't sublet your apartment, right?
Well,
that you
those
own.
Are co-ops and co-ops.
Right. Well, I'm just wondering, like, can you do that here?
Years.
Can you basically sublet?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Yes.
I just learned a whole lot.
Yeah,
you're
me
very
too.
Smart, lady. You're very smart. But I didn't know that they still had that rule that your first year, your freshman year, you needed to stay on campus. Now, how much is that enforced?
It's enforced.
Really? So
you can
a
get
or
exceptions. Not in the sorority house. You can't live as a freshman in a sorority house. You have
so
to live in the dorms.
You have
to be in the dorms. There are exceptions. Now, I don't work for the university, but there are exceptions.
Okay. Well, I imagine there are, particularly when there are financial concerns and so
well,
forth.
Well,
so.
And if you live, like if you're from Tuscaloosa, you don't have to live in the dorm because you may live at home.
Yeah. That's
you can do that. You know, I think there's a radius, maybe a 50-mile radius or whatnot that you don't, that you're not required. But most students are not within that 50-mile radius.
All right. I was going to pose this question, but I'd much rather talk about what we just discussed. But is it in Alabama's best interest if Tennessee beats Georgia tomorrow?
No.
No.
See, I disagree. We're going to talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Big Noon Sports. We're coming to you live from Ennis Free. It's the Friday afternoon place to be. Come by, have lunch and a cold beer as we broadcast live until 2. Of course, you're welcome all weekend at Ennis Free.
Securing the best mortgage possible requires a lender who has knowledge, is trustworthy, and treats customers like family. And no one is better at all of this than the mortgage miracle worker, Haley Sansing. Based right here in Tuscaloosa, Haley Sansing has spent decades working in the mortgage industry. With Haley, it's personal, holding your hand from contract to close. With Haley, it's about one thing, you. Call Haley on her cell, yes, her cell, 205-792-1813. That's 205-792-1813. Let Haley help you.
NLMS number 230376.
This Big Noon Sports coming up.
Hey, we're live at Ennis Free. Matt Coulter, Laura Lee, and Lars Anderson now being joined by the one and only Mick Gillespie, who broadcasts from here, has many shows, and has some YouTube channels as well. Mick, the gang is all here. We miss you. Come see us. Are you up in this area?
I'm heading that direction. So, yeah, maybe I'd love to swing by there if I can get there in time.
Well, and you know the lay of the land here. Innisfree is just about as good as it gets. It's a great place to eat, and it's a great bar. So come on by. Lars is buying, right?
As always, the fried pickle order is in. The fried pickle order is in. Hey, Mick, just give us your review of last week's performance at Alabama, Kentucky.
Well, I mean, I wasn't surprised, you know, and I said it all week. That I thought Alabama was going to go in there and take care of business. I didn't think that they were going to overlook Kentucky. I thought that it would be a blowout. And I also said that I thought Vegas was wrong on Alabama. They were wrong when Alabama was struggling on the road and they had them, you know, kind of overranked, I mean, you know, or, you know, overpointed or whatever you call that, you know, and they were under. I thought 11 for that game was extremely low, and I probably would have had it in the 20s. So, they did exactly what I thought. I mean, they made some mistakes, and give Kentucky credit for taking advantage of it. But I thought Alabama could have got out of there shutting out Kentucky, you know, had they not buffed the fumble or the punt, you know, had they not turned the football over, and you know, had they not given up that one big play, And I mean, look, that's kind of part of the game, you know. But besides that, Jalen Milroe is coming into his own, and this team's dangerous.
Yes, it is dangerous. And here's the interesting point about playing a game like this. And Lars and Matt and I were talking about it earlier, where you have two critical games for that, with the Oregon State and Washington, and then Texas and Iowa State. If we were playing a better opponent, an SEC opponent this week, with that, don't you think that would help us instead of playing a team like UTC?
Absolutely.
I don't know if I agree with that. And I'll tell you why. Like, first off, as a fan, I would probably much rather see a better team. But as a football team going into this Iron Bowl, you know, I love the idea of resting as many guys as you can possibly. This is a great game for that, getting experience with, you know, some guys that don't get a whole lot of time in the game. I'm expecting Alabama to destroy Chattanooga, although they're a good FCS team. They're not going to compete with Alabama. But, I mean, as a fan, I would like to see that. And for Alabama, they got to beat Auburn, which is going to be a really tough game. And then they got to go take care of Georgia, which is going to be the toughest game. So, now on the other end of this, and I'm going to play devil's advocate. I did the show yesterday, Elephant in the Room on YouTube with Jay Coker. We do it twice a week, and we were talking about these kind of games. And he said, you know, one of the things you got to worry about is guys not being where they're supposed to be. And I said, well, what does that mean? I mean, I've heard people say that before, but I don't even understand what that means. And he's like, well, he's like, when you're offensive lineman pushing a guy like 5 yards downfield just because you're just that much better, you know, and, you know, or you could get hurt like that. You know, you kind of get hurt in those spots where it's just you're so dominating that you're somewhere that you normally wouldn't be. And so I guess that's the biggest fear that I would have. It's just you just don't want anyone to get hurt. And I said, I remember that time that Alabama played Mercer, and I feel like that happened. I want to say like Will Anderson Jr. Might have gotten like kind of a crackback block that no one does in the SEC, and he got hurt, and it was like, why are we playing Mercer? You know, so I guess that's kind of the downside to these games is that, you know, you got, you know, Johnny Hero that's playing in the biggest game they're ever going to play in, and basically it's just a scrimmage payoff for that school. And if somebody does something like that and you lose your best player, then you know, it could derail the entire season. So I hope that doesn't happen.
Let me give you a scenario. If Alabama is up 40-0 at the half, will Milroe get his first series coming out of the locker room?
Well, I mean, I would guess so. That's kind of been Saban's way. But, I mean, I think Milroe's – Coach Mick would probably say, hey, Milroe's played enough football this year. He's got a lot more to go. Let's go and see what Ty Simpson can do, you know. We saw a little of it last week. But they like to have the guy do the – they want him to take that first drive in the second half, and there's a lot of reasons why. Part of it's adjustment. You know, part of it's just kind of the just your body – kind of being ready for that, but I'm sure that's what's going to happen. But you know, to me, watching the one play last week where Milroe took the helmet to the, you know, to the leg, I just hope that I want the Milroe we saw against LSU, that fast Milroe. And even after that hit, you could tell he was still fast, but he wasn't running as much and he wasn't as fast.
Mick, if Alabama wins out, and that is a mighty big if, do they need help? Does Alabama need help to make it into the college football playoffs?
I've talked about this a lot on my channel and the different shows, and there's people that tell me that the SEC champ's not going to get left out, and I'm just not so fast to believe that. I think that there is a chance that Alabama could get left out. I think that it could happen if Texas is the team that wins from the Big 12 and they beat Alabama, it's going to be a tough argument despite their weak strength of schedule. that Alabama would get in over them. I mean, they won the head-to-head game, and they did it in Tuscaloosa. So I would love to see some chaos before we get there to make sure that Alabama gets in. I think it's going to be really close, guys. I don't know. I think Alabama probably gets in over Texas, but there's no guarantee. And I could make an argument both ways. You know, when you do lose the head-to-head battle, I mean, to me, that's really important.
So what do you think as far as we were talking about the strength of schedule? And I saw some of it come out, and they have Georgia at 21st, Ohio State at 6th, Michigan at 10th, Florida State at 13th, which I thought – I was surprised by that.
Not sure I'm looking at the same one.
I'm like – the Washington at 20th, Oregon 12th, Texas 5th, Alabama 2nd. What do you think about those numbers?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen different ones, but I mean, to me, Texas beat Alabama, but their league isn't as good as the SEC. And the SEC's gotten a lot better as the season's gone on, too. I mean, when you lose your roster and your superstar players to the NFL, it's going to take time to develop. But what I will say is that if Texas and Alabama played again, which I would love to see, I think Texas would be in a lot of trouble because this is a much different Alabama team. Where they're holding on to win games every week, Alabama's defense has gotten better and better. The adjustments that this team makes on offense and defense at the half is as good as any Alabama team I can remember in a long time. Especially on defense. I mean, it's been great, fresh air, big breath of fresh air with Kevin Steele as defensive coordinator. And so I think that they have to look at that. But and the fact that Alabama will have beaten number one Georgia, and, you know, and who knows who Texas is going to play. You know, it could be Kansas State, could be Oklahoma State, could be Oklahoma, you know, to get there. That's to say if they don't lose before that. So, you know, there's so many factors in there.
All right, I'm throwing something out here for the table, okay, for everybody here at Guinness Free Irish Pub. I'm starting to wonder if it isn't better if maybe Tennessee does beat Georgia. Why not get the dogs out of the way and then go beat them? In my opinion right now, we need everybody in front of Alabama to lose. Am I that far off base, Mick?
I mean, in my opinion, yeah. I mean, I think that you got to have that. The thing that could push Alabama over the hump would be ending Georgia's winning streak. Back-to-back national champions. The longest, you know, one of the longest winning streaks in SEC history. And you're looking at, you know, Texas isn't going to have a win like that except their win over Alabama. And the fact that Alabama's gotten better each week. So I think that it would be... It would definitely soften that game against Georgia. And then the other thing, too, is that Georgia's got a pretty heavy crown on their head right now. You lose that game to Tennessee, and all of a sudden you get everybody refocused again, and it may be a different situation than it is right now. You know, we've seen Alabama with these long winning streaks. You know, and it just gets to the point where, you know what, you're going to lose a game, and things aren't going to go your way. But if that happens in Knoxville, you know, who's to say that's not going to happen in Atlanta?
Hey, Mick, I'm keeping a close eye on Texas versus Iowa State this weekend. The Cyclones at home, man, they are tough. And also, given the fact that Iowa State has beaten Texas 3 of the last 4 years, and Texas is a 7.5-point favorite, something doesn't really add up here. And I know the weather, unfortunately, for Alabama fans and Iowa State fans, it's going to be mild and somewhat sunny for late November. But this has the makings of an Iowa State upset to me, Nick.
I hope you're right. I mean, that's what everyone's saying. But it's going to be 40 with no wind. And I don't know. I mean, Texas is a really good football team. Iowa State's gotten better as the season's gone on. But until I see them lose, and they lost to Oklahoma, that was a really good football game. I guess I'll see it to believe it. I guess, to me, Lars, the game that I would keep an eye on is the Oregon State Washington game.
Yeah.
They have a chance. If I'm Oregon State, I'm still pretty bitter about how my conference has folded, you know, and how we were kind of left behind in that process. And you got a chance to basically, you know, one more time pay back those teams. So and
back
they're good.
To back weeks,
you know,
right? I mean,
yeah. They play good football.
Yeah, Oregon State could. Yeah, Oregon State could just upset the whole thing, and they could leave the Pac-12 burning. I love that storyline, man.
Leave the Pac-12 burning. Aren't they already in flames now? It's based on what's happening to them. Hey, Mick, hang on a minute, will you?
Okay.
We just ordered some fried pickles in your honor. All right, we'll be back with more of Big Noon Sports, and we're live from Innisfree. Come see us.
Thompson is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as roll tide as houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at lauralee@thebamabroker.com. That's lauralee@thebamabroker.com.
100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky becoming mostly cloudy this afternoon. The high today 69. Cloudy tonight. The chance of a few passing rain showers. The low 54. Tomorrow becoming mostly sunny. The high 67. And Sunday, a sunny day with a high at 66. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is the Big Noon Sports Network.
Live, as we are Fridays throughout the season, at Innisfree, the Irish pub. It is the place to be, especially on Friday. We're here until 2, but you can come by all weekend long, as many of you already do. Come by and enjoy a meet and three. Their lucky lunch is fabulous, and right now we've got more fried pickles, and I don't think we know what to do with. So on to that. Come by if you can, Mick. In the meantime, on your way up, let's talk about Michigan. You want to talk about what do you call it? Dumpster fires? Oh, man. Today it was announced that their linebacker coach, Chris Partridge, was fired. And the reason given was lack of a cooperation with NCAA. Every time I read something, I just want to go, what? What in the wide world of sports is going on here? Is he some kind of scapegoat? Is this related to the scandal? I'm really – and by the way, is it over, guys? The Big Ten said it's okay. Michigan said they're not going to follow up with their suit.
NCAA. NCAA. Right, Mick?
There's no real authority anymore. You know, I mean, it's like it is the Wild West. I mean, but it has a lot more to do with just the entire infrastructure of college sports. You know, this isn't the NCAA that we had, where they're suspending guys for getting a bagel or a sandwich. You know, now you got the players are paid, and the coaches are going to do whatever they want. And there's really no authoritative body. I honestly didn't even really pay too much attention to the whole thing, because I knew that there was nothing that the NCAA was going to do about it. Like a 3-game suspension for your head coach. I mean, come on, man. The whole thing is, if cheating's tolerated in your sport, you got a big, big, big problem. And I feel like it was tolerated.
IEC, the Astros. Laura Lee, thank you. Ross Dellinger has just posted breaking news. NCAA presented Michigan evidence that points to a UM booster, Uncle T, as having partially funded the scouting scheme, and an assistant coach, now fired Chris Partridge, as attempting to destroy computer evidence, according to sources.
Uncle T. It's always an uncle, right?
Well,
yeah, right.
It's always an uncle, a crazy uncle who takes down an entire program. What a just dumpster fire this whole thing is. And you know, Matt and I do a podcast together, and I ended it on Thursday or on Tuesday, just saying they cheated, they cheated, they cheated. It's obvious Michigan cheated, and there is no freaking retribution for that. So whatever.
Well, Michigan doesn't want to do, obvious for obvious reasons. They don't want any penalty, but the Big Ten doesn't want to give it to them because they won a national championship.
Yeah, they want $6 million per school.
Yep.
I mean, so it's a complicated situation. The authoritative body here needs to be the NCAA, but they do not act with expediency on anything, and they have no authority on anything anymore. So, I'm with Nick or Mick. Sorry, that it's like almost much ado about nothing, because even though there's a lot of there, can't do anything about it. Outside of any team in the SEC, Mick, who would you least like to play right now?
I would probably, if I was Alabama, would least like to play Oregon. Because,
bingo.
You know, we've seen Bo Nix. Bo Nix knows the SEC. Their head coach knows the SEC. He was defensive coordinator in Georgia. And I think that after watching Jaden Daniels against Alabama, you know that as good as this defense is, that a great quarterback could do some damage. Does that mean I think Oregon would beat Alabama? No, but I think they would give Alabama a lot of trouble on offense, and they could be a really, really tough team to deal with. The other team would probably be Ohio State. You know, the way they played Georgia last year, that's the last real good game that Georgia's had, besides the game against Auburn, and I feel like that was more of just like kind of a fluke situation. You know, you don't have flukes in the college football playoffs. So I would say Oregon 1 and then Ohio State 2. I think Alabama plays Michigan, and I think they would hammer. I really do.
Marley.
Well, it looks to me, you know, I would welcome the opportunity to play Oregon. I think that...
Boy, what a storyline that would be if Alabama played Oregon.
Yes, and the fact that would mean that we would probably make it to the top four, because the way it looks with the committee right now, which I wouldn't trust them at all, getting an SEC champ in there, a win loss, I just wouldn't trust it, is that they're bound and determined to have a pack team in there. Is that they go up in flames, they want the last four teams, one of them, to be out of that conference. What do you think, man?
That could be it. I mean, I really do feel like that the committee would love to keep Alabama out. I just do. Now, there's going to be a ton of momentum if Alabama beats Georgia. And it would be so crazy to think if Oregon beats Washington and then Texas and Alabama are all one loss champs of their league. How in the hell would they figure that out? I mean, I wouldn't want to be on that committee. And that's saying that Michigan or Ohio State's unbeaten, Florida State's unbeaten, you know, and then maybe you take two of the three, and I think Alabama gets in that case. I think that what would hurt Alabama is if Florida State, Michigan, Ohio State, and Washington are undefeated, and then you're picking between Alabama and Texas. But I think if you make it that three-way with the one-loss teams and conference champs, I think Alabama finds a way to get in. I think they would take one of those. They would take the SEC, but I wouldn't bet my house on it, just because, like you said, I think the the committee would love to keep Alabama out, but I don't know if they could.
Is there any scenario if Alabama and Texas both went out where Alabama would leapfrog the Longhorns?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess
I don't think
is,
so.
Because there's people telling me that they think that Alabama would based on the win over Georgia and the conference strength. But the conference wasn't that good at the beginning of the year when they were playing all those non-conference games. It's gotten better as the season's gone on. So what I hate is the uncertainty. And so hopefully between now and the end of, the championship week, all that uncertainty will be gone.
Mick, you have a good sense of the pulse of Vegas. If Alabama and Texas played on a neutral field next week, what would the spread be?
Oh, Alabama would be favored by 7.5, 8 points, maybe more. Like they
neutral?
Doubt
Did you say
Alabama.
Neutral?
Neutral, yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
Alabama would be favored. Oh, Alabama, look, I mean, Alabama's better every week. And I
There's
know
a different
they,
team.
They,
completely different
Yeah,
team.
And They were so awful in that Kentucky game. And I probably said it. I can't remember if I said it on your show, but I said it a lot that I felt like they were way off. But I used to say it, too, in 2001 that they were way off when Alabama was like a 21-point favorite and they couldn't beat, bad Florida teams hardly, I was really concerned about the way that the team played on the road. They've gotten a lot of that figured out. They're getting better and better. I think the Texas A&M game really helped this team with confidence. And but I also just feel like Jalen Milroe and how good he's gotten has made Alabama so dangerous.
Three guys walking to a bar. They all do an Irish car bomb. Boom! We're off.
Yeah, that's what he just said. Shaking it off over there at the bar.
It's 12:56, and that's car bomb time.
To be 21 again.
Lars, 21:52. It doesn't matter to us, does it? Let's go right now during the break. Laura Lee.
Roll tide.
You can drive us home. Okay. Anyway. Mick, I guess we got to get out of here, but we'll see you here lately. Just later today. You'll be here this weekend. Tell everybody where they can pick up on Mick Gillespie.
Yeah, check me out on my YouTube channel. It's Bama Tailgate on YouTube. We put content up every day. And then I do the podcast with Jake Coker on Roll Tide Pod. It's called Elephant in the Room, and we put that out twice a week. And Roll Tide, everybody.
Let's see what happens tomorrow, although I think we're all pretty sure. In all of the scenarios we just discussed, I don't think that one's leaving anybody feeling antsy at all. Thank you, Mick. Talk to you next week.
See you guys.
Thanks, brother.
You're listening to Big Noon Sports, coming to you on our Fridays from the place to be. That's Ennis Free.
Securing the best mortgage possible requires a lender who has knowledge, is trustworthy, and treats customers like family. And no one is better at all of this than the mortgage miracle worker, Haley Sansing. Based right here in Tuscaloosa, Haley Sansing has spent decades working in the mortgage industry. With Haley, it's personal, holding your hand from contract to close. With Haley, it's about one thing, you. Call Haley on her cell, yes, her cell, 205-792-1813. That's 205-792-1813. Let Haley help you.
NLMS number 230376.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Ryan Fenley.
Michigan football firing linebackers coach Chris Partridge. This comes on the heels of a Yahoo Sports report that indicated the NCAA showed the Wolverine football program a mountain of new evidence surrounding its allegations of illicit scouting. And this would involve Partridge, who attempted, according to the NCAA, erase computer evidence of such malpractices, even including a Wolverine hotshot booster, Uncle T, who allegedly helped bankroll the illicit activity. And such measures are why the Wolverines accepted their punishment. And Jim Harbaugh, the team's head coach, agreed to the 3-game suspension. According to Bleacher Report, Clippers Russell Westbrook has told the coaching staff that he's willing to come off the bench if that means the team will start winning more games.
Covering SEC sports like kudzu on the roadside. This is Big Noon Sports.
Live from Innisfree, it's the Friday place to be. Laura Lee Thompson, Bama broker, Lars Anderson, Matt Coulter are with you for another hour. Please come down and join us. Have a burger. I love the James Joyce. Of course, they've got a wide selection of cold beers, and televisions are everywhere for the weekend, so you can watch all of the football games. It's a little different, though, if you're trying to watch Alabama, because they're on the SEC Plus or the SEC Network or ESPN Plus. So that's the only way you can watch that. But we don't have to worry about that. We're going to the game. So news coming up at 1:15. We'll be joined, talk some recruiting and all with Andrew Bone. One of the stories that struck me this morning is concerning Charissa Thompson. She's a longtime NFL sideline reporter. And on a podcast yesterday, she admitted that she made things up concerning her sideline reports. For instance, if she didn't actually get a coach to interview or get a quote from the coach, she would just go ahead and make her own quotes. She would say it would be very generic, like if you're 0 for 7 on third downs, then she would say, well, the coach needs to improve on their third downs. Well, that's true. The coach probably would have said that, but the fact that she didn't accurately get that information, Lars, throws up all kinds of red flags. And every sideline recorder, from the one down in Daphne, Alabama, to the ones in New York City, are crying. They're crying. They are throwing all kinds of stones at Charissa Thompson. And I'm just, this is a great topic for people that are in the business, Lars. It's not a great situation.
If she was my colleague at Alabama in the Department of Journalism and Creative Media, I think the class that she would teach would be called Fake It Till You Make It. Fake It Till You Make It. That is what she did, Matt, is so appalling and on multiple levels. And I cannot believe that she was on the broadcast last night on Amazon. Cannot believe.
I can't believe she said it.
Well, okay.
Yeah,
This is multi-layered here, right?
Absolutely.
I can't. Yes. Okay. That one, she confessed to violating the cardinal sin of journalism, and that is tell the effing truth.
Yep.
And then the fact that she felt such a sense of entitlement to boast about it, and she thought it was cool, it was funny. Mind-boggling. She is jeopardizing a $700,000 a year gig, and she doesn't have to do very much other than, you know, smile and look pretty and don't lie. But she has admitted to lying. And so what does Amazon do when they are asked, why is she on air tonight? Oh, it took place 15 years ago. Give me a freaking break. Give me a break, Laura Lee. Like, I can't believe that this woman is still allowed to have her job. I would have fired her in a New York minute.
So this is something she did 15 years ago?
Yeah. But she's boasting about it now.
I don't know if she's necessarily boasting as much as she thinks it's... Well, she's proud of it.
She's proud of it.
You're right.
I wouldn't be proud of something like that. It would be admitting a mistake, you know, early in a career, but boasting about it, then, yeah, I would
She
have
tried to clarify her comments on Instagram.
That's a good point, because had she presented it differently, I'm not sure she'd be under the heat that she is now. Good point.
Yes. I mean, look... Sideline reporters have a difficult job. I get that. And Matt, you and I talked about this before the show for about 30 minutes. But look, if Nick Saban isn't going to talk to you at halftime, or, you know, they're running late, everything is so truncated and rushed at halftime for the coaches. they basically have about 7 minutes or so in the locker room. Once you get everybody in there and you got to get everybody out, you only have about 7 minutes. And oftentimes, you don't have that 30 seconds to give to the sideline reporter. Well, the sideline reporter should just say, you know what? As you mentioned, Matt, on the way down, what should the sideline reporter do?
What should they do in the case?
In the case where you don't get the coach.
Then you tell everybody what you know.
Yeah.
You know, you make your own observations. And you don't necessarily have to say, these are mine, but you sure as hell don't say, they're the coaches.
First rule of writing that I tell my kids, write what you know.
Yep.
By the way, and that extends to broadcast. Say what you know.
We're peeling back layers of the onion. Here's another thing that bothers me, because she admitted that this has happened multiple times. Well, you know what I say? Do your damn job. If she's saying she's basic, no, she's not basic. She's saying I didn't do my job, so I made stuff up. Ooh. And here's the other thing that just blasts me. This reflects so poorly, unfortunately, on all sideline reporters.
Yes.
And on broadcast journalists in general. And I am offended. And how she's still holding a microphone.
One of my closest friends in the world is Armin Katayan. And Armin worked at 60 Minutes. He's written multiple New York Times bestsellers on Tiger, on just the Gambler that is out now, still on the Times list. And he did sideline reporting for CBS for like 10 years. And he is apoplectic. He's so upset. This is my prediction. She will not be employed this time next week.
$700,000. Bye-bye. Anyway.
Yeah, all Marley, because
we kind of jumped into our journalism.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, this
you're
upsets.
You're working a deal over here.
Aren't it, it upsets me.
No, I agree. I mean, once again, as I was saying, if it was a mistake and something that happened, a few times and you do what you're supposed to do, but I don't get boasting about it. I have a problem with that. And as a woman, it's so hard for women to get into the sport, to be on the sideline, to be on ESPN, to call the
games. About Tracy Wolfson and all of the really good sideline reporters. How much does this set them back?
Right.
It's hard. It's universal. They are all just so angry at her.
Well, I can imagine, because it's only been recently that you have even seen women in football and on the sidelines.
Well, they typically come in as sideline reporters.
But, growing up, we didn't have women when I was growing up.
Remember when Jane Kennedy came on? Whoa.
Yeah.
Man, they were older men, like my father's era, throwing stuff at the TV. Women can't do sports. My father never did that.
Some of the men, because I watch a lot of sports, don't like to hear the woman's voice or say disparaging remarks or don't agree with what she has to say. And the only time I don't hear that is in college softball.
Yeah.
Women's college softball. And, other than that, if it's basketball, football, even Sunday night football, baseball.
Yeah, there's a woman on there now, and she's very good.
Yeah, isn't it Jessica Mendoza?
Yes,
she's really good. And Matt, our former partner, Christian Miller, does such a good job as the sideline reporter for Alabama. Right. And you've been in that situation, right, in your career. How difficult is it in the moment to get just the coach who is fired up with emotion to try to?
It's real difficult if you're going to try and do something live and on camera, because the coach wants to get back out on the field.
Yep.
And the same is true leaving the field. They want to get to the locker room. They got stuff to fix. So it's if you're going to do a live hit on TV, you've got to have a producer and somebody else, and you've got to have immediate contact and have discussed it before with their sports information director. That's the guy that's going to bring him and stand him in front of the camera. Now, if you're not ready to roll, the coach is going to go bolt. And that means the producers upstairs, the trucks, and the director, and the TV, the operator, the camera operator, are all going to have to be ready. If it doesn't happen, then what do you have to do? You improvise. You figure out another way to get that information and pass it along to the viewers and do the best that you possibly can. But you don't say, and Coach Saban said, when you don't know that to be true.
How hard is it to improvise on air live when you are 25 years old?
It's hard.
Wow, it's
the most challenging, compelling, and most gratifying thing you ever do when you nail it. But when you don't, it'll haunt you for the rest of your life.
Wow.
But that's the way it is with a lot of things. Wow.
You remember the mistakes, not the triumphs.
That is so. Well, there are a few of the triumphs you really do remember when you take a shower that morning and you go, ah. We'll be back. More Big Noon Sports as Andrew Bone will be on the phone.
Dell's Black is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as roll tide as houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at lauralee@thebamabroker.com. That's lauralee@thebamabroker.com.
The best Dino. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky becoming mostly cloudy this afternoon, the high today 69. Cloudy tonight, the chance of a few passing rain showers below 54. Tomorrow becoming mostly sunny, the high 67. And Sunday, a sunny day with a high at 66. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best sports talk in Alabama. This is Big Noon Sports.
Andrew Bone is going to join us in just a second, but I think he will allow me to take about a minute here. If you were noticing in that last break at our affiliates here in Tuscaloosa, Tide 100.9 and WTBC, 1230 WTBC, you heard James Spann doing the weather. You all know that he had emergency surgery last Monday evening and had to spend a couple of days in the hospital. So I hear that knowing he went to his own studio in his house and he's already doing the weather again. Now, it will be a while, I think, before he can do it on television because, oddly enough, I went to the UAB Alcorn State game last night, Alcorn State, and I ran into Ryan. So I got the inside scoop from Ryan Spann, his son, and he's also the producer of our podcast, the Matt and Lars podcast. And he said that he saw him yesterday morning. He said you couldn't tell a difference between him and a week before. That doesn't surprise you with James Spann. And then he went on and reiterated what you were talking about, and you talked to Ryan earlier in the week, said that every time the nurses came in the room, he would say, you need to tend to somebody else. I'm fine. You need to do this. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. The man just had emergency abdominal surgery on a blockage, and he is already telling the nurses that he's going to be fine. But I think I speak for everybody that's listening to this show, and particularly us who have been friends with him for many, many years, speaking of TBC, going back to those days, that our thoughts and prayers with James Spann. But
when did you first meet James?
TBC 79, something.
What was
like
your
that.
First impression of him?
Wow, that guy's got a ponytail.
James Spann had a ponytail.
Now, well, somebody told me that he had one at one time, and I never saw that. I just remember that all of us at the radio stations after our gigs and everything, we'd go out. James just stood waiting on something to happen in the weather. I mean, his destiny was chosen before birth. But anyway, He's a wonderful person, wonderful man, and obviously extremely skilled at his craft. So, again, our thoughts and prayers go out. Now, that being said, let's bring on Andrew Bone.
Andrew Bone, how you doing today, my friend?
Oh, I'm good, guys. How y'all doing?
Fantastic.
We are terrific. We're hanging out at Innisfree and getting ready for the game tomorrow. Andrew, when you were scouting Jalen Milroe as a high school prospect, what was your analysis of him?
Well, you know, it came to Alabama's football camp as a junior. Alabama had targeted they'd only offered a couple players in that class, and so one of their big commitments they received earlier in the summer was Drake May, who's now in North Carolina. And Jalen was one of those guys that loved Alabama. And then Alabama took the commitment from Drake May, and Texas was pushing hard for him and made that decision. So looking back at, you know, some of his high school, he didn't run the ball as, you know, probably as much as just now. You know, you could tell he was extremely athletic, had a really strong arm, had, you know, some good size, and, you know, you're just kind of waiting to see, you know, is this going to be a guy that, you know, goes into another program and contributes right away, or, you know, once Alabama started making that push for him, you kind of expected once he got to Alabama, it was probably going to take a little bit of time to kind of mold him, develop him a little bit. You know, if he could, using those legs a little, you know, to his advantage, he was going to, you know, be pretty dangerous because he had elite speed. He just, you know, he was always kind of a throw first type guy. He wanted to be labeled as a quarterback, not an athlete or a dual threat guy. You know, certainly wanted to be a pocket passer. And, you know, he's shown the ability now that he can do both. So, you know, kudos to the Alabama coaching staff for being able to develop him into the player that he is right now, you know, really from the start of the season until this point, not just during the off season, but, you know, we've seen a lot change in his game over the course, you know, really over the last 8 weeks.
Andrew Bone is our guest here as we broadcast live for Big Noon Sports. Had a lot of coaching dismissals here, most notably Jimbo Fisher is gone at Texas A&M. What takes place immediately when a coach is fired like that? What is it, all hands on deck? How do they handle recruiting and the transfer portal and all that when your coach is gone at the end of the season, before the end of the season?
Well, I think before it even gets to recruiting, you know, you've got to sit down with the players' team. You've got to, you know, let them know exactly kind of what's going on. You know, they're still wanted in the program. You know, you're trying hard to keep them from entering the transfer portal because, you know, there's sharks in the water. You know, there's a lot of people that are, you know, looking for talent, you know, to help them. There's a lot of talent on that Texas A&M football team. We know that by the way that they've recruited the last several years. And, you know, there's going to be some guys that, that jump ship. But, you know, you also, you know, flip over to the recruiting side of things. And, you know, Texas A&M has a great class. You know, there's a lot of, you know, big names that are in that class that are starting to look around. I believe some have already DO'd, and there's some who are starting to, you know, take other schools a little bit more seriously. You know, you look at somebody like Cam Coleman, who's a 5-star wide receiver out of Central Phoenix City. Be shocked if he stuck with his commitment to Texas A&M. Auburn certainly pushing hard there. Florida State pushing hard. You know, there's some other kids. I think especially for the out-of-state kids, it's always difficult to hang on to those guys when you have a head coaching change. But you also have to wait and see, you know, who else is not, you know, longer retained on the staff. Will they be able to keep, you know, some of, you know, their biggest recruiters, you know, on its coaching staff and be able to salvage the class? Or, you know, who do they end up going after as far as a head coach? And, you know, what type of relationships does that coach have with, you know, recruits not only that are currently committed to Texas A&M, but outside of that, and they want to bring with them to College Station. So there's kind of a lot that goes on, but there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of coaches out there that are trying to pick off their recruiting class right now.
Well, you would think that a school like Texas A&M would have already put out some feelers to some of these coaches' agents before they fired Jimbo. Having said that, and you can comment on that, but also you've got Sam Pittman sitting over here, and he's still not fired, but people think he may be fired. Why do you think Arkansas is not taking action?
That's a good question. I kind of felt like, after watching this season, that Sam Pittman, he was probably on his way out. And maybe they just want to give him another year. I mean, it's toughest conference, toughest division in college football is the SEC West. And we saw Mississippi State fire its head coach, just the other day. And obviously just 1 year in to the job, one season, and didn't go as well as well as they were hoping. I thought they'd give him a little bit more time. Sam Pittman's been there I guess 3 years now, and still kind of the same. So I don't know if they're going to give him a little bit more time, but it seems like they are. But I do think Arkansas is going to have a big turnaround next season, or they're going to be looking for a new head coach. But obviously, you never know what might happen over the course of the next couple of weeks. I mean, we could easily see, a coaching change there. We could see some movement. We could potentially see somebody, go after Sam Pittman because I think he's a good coach. I don't know if he's, Arkansas is a place that can attract elite talent year after year after year, like a lot of these other powerhouse SEC schools are able to do on a consistent basis. But he's a great recruiter, obviously the first year or so he had a pretty good run.
I can say this without qualification. I have never spent so much time talking about an 18-year-old left tackle as I have this year with Matt Coulter. We are oddly, obsessed with Caden Proctor. And I think it goes back to his recruitment in the fact that just to what I've read, he was like last-second flip. And he's an Iowa kid. And in a lot of the games early on, Matt and I would be talking like, oh, who's the key player? Who's the key player for Alabama? And it's Caden Proctor. And his development in the last month has just been amazing. And this is a great story. Andrew, can you just give us some backstory, some background of how Caden Proctor came to Alabama, what you saw in him in high school, and what you see in him now?
Well, from a physical standpoint, he was just so far advanced than really just about anybody else that we saw at the high school level in last year's recruiting class. I mean, he's 6'5", 350-plus pound offensive lineman, who doesn't look really fat. Usually a high school kid at that size is sometimes sort of a little bit of a slob, and you have to get him into your program and trim the fat. You have to get them in shape, and you have to get them physically ready to play in the SEC or really anywhere. But Caden was incredibly physical prospect coming out of high school, big kid. Committed to Iowa early during the summer, but it was between Alabama and Iowa. Alabama stuck with it, throughout the process, kept recruiting them, kept telling them, hey, we got a spot for you. Just wait. We want you to flip. We're going to try to flip you. And obviously, Eric Wolford, Nick Saban, and Freddie Rose were able to do that at the end of the recruiting cycle.
Andrew Bone, where can people follow you?
Go to BamaOnline.com. That's where all of my content is every single day. You can sign up now for $1. Get you 1 month of subscription to BamaOnline.com.
$1. All right. Andrew, thanks for your time as always. Just terrific information. We'll see you down the road.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye. Hey, some stuff. I'm a broadcaster and I need to use the word stuff. There was activity in the National Football League last night, Thursday night football, and more than just the score of the Ravens beating the Bengals 34-20. We'll be back with information on that as we broadcast live from Innisfree, the Friday place to be with Matt, Laura Lee, and Lars.
For championships.
Throws intercepted Alabama.
Built by Bama.
Alabama is still Alabama.
The Crimson Tide play here. Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on the Chattanooga Mocs. Our coverage begins at 8 a.m. on your home for Alabama football.
Brought to you by Birmingham Racecourse. BirminghamRacecourse.com. You can be a winner too.
Securing the best mortgage possible requires a lender who has knowledge, is trustworthy, and treats customers like family. And no one is better at all of this than the mortgage miracle worker, Haley Sansing. Based right here in Tuscaloosa, Haley Sansing has spent decades working in the mortgage industry. With Haley, it's personal, holding your hand from contract to close. With Haley, it's about one thing, you. Call Haley on her cell, yes, her cell, 205-792-1813. That's 205-792-1813. Let Haley help you.
NLMS number 230376.
From T-Town to the Plains, this is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
All right, let me see your little ticket there. I want to see what you ordered. All right, here's what Laura Lee ordered on the Meet and Three, the lucky lunch here at we're at
Innisfree.
I go so many places now with this radio station. Sometimes it's just plus I'm old. You got the Kaneka?
Yes.
Sausage with onions. I get that here when I mac cheese, fried okra. I have not had the fried okra yet. Good.
Yeah, well, I haven't met a fried okra I didn't like.
Lima beans. You are a fan. You are after my heart. I love lima beans
cornbread.
So much.
And cornbread.
Cornbread.
I'm southern to the bone.
Yes, you are. And you know what? We have, I think we've made a lot of ground on Lars Anderson. As far as,
yeah. You know, you're turning me into a southerner, yes, not a Nebraskan.
I got to start this segment, all right? We all know, and by the way, you can't listen to this show in the last day without knowing what a big Bengals fan that Lars is, and particularly Joe Burrow fan. But this morning, when we got in the car to come over here, I thought somebody had died. And he looked at me and he said, "Is it strange for a 52-year-old man to get so emotional about a loss?" And, I mean, he was just short of having tears running down his eyes. I mean, he is – I knew you were a Bengals fan, but I didn't know that it carried a hangover to where you were – it took till Brookside. Brookwood to get him in a better mood.
Well, I could understand. I mean, you know, since he's a big volleyball fan –
There you go.
Yeah. Boom.
Volleyball Boom. Anderson here.
Volleyball Anderson.
I give Matt credit because his accounting of what transpired is 100% accurate. But then I always try to look at things like from – if everybody's looking directionally, like straight ahead, I want to look at it from the side. And so why? Why do we care so much? And that's what I asked Matt. Why? Does it make my life any better or worse today because Cincinnati lost last night and Joe Burrow may be gone for the season? Got a little bit of a man crush on Joe Burrow, you know that.
A little bit.
Yeah, a big bit. No, but it's something I have thought about since I was about 7 years old. And what drove me into sports journalism and to writing is why do we care so much? Because I couldn't conceal my emotions from Matt. And I did preface it too. It was like, a Thursday night game in the middle of the season and I'm like visibly upset on a Friday morning, like I don't get it. But and this is a question I've thought about, Laura Lee, for 45 years.
I get it because I live and breathe Alabama football in particular, but Alabama sports, and I always laugh and say my moods go up and down according to how Alabama's doing. And yes, I mean, it's because you're invested in it. I grew up going to the games. I grew up right by this campus. This is part of who I am. I bleed crimson, and I am invested, good, bad, or ugly, because I was here when it was ugly.
Yeah, that is great. I love that, because some of the richest experiences I've had in my life with my late father, all around Bengals football.
That's well, it. Then that has a large part.
Yeah.
That's large. It enriches your life, though. It makes you feel better. And if something makes you feel better, within reason, do it. Do it till you're satisfied.
Feels good. Do it. Yeah, that's my motto.
Do it. So,
and do it again. And do it again.
And coaches, most notably, I spent a lot of time with Wimp Sanderson. And he said, "Man, that dang losses, they hurt far more than the wins in camp. You know, it just losing hurts more than winning feels, you know?"
Yeah, and we also talked about this, Laura Lee. Hey, if Alabama gets to a national championship game and loses, does that make you feel like, oh, I wish they just would have been horrible this year and I wouldn't become emotionally invested?
No, I'm always.
You want me to hit him first?
Yeah, I'm always emotionally invested. And, you know, when I lived in New York and when I lived in Los Angeles, I would fly home for the games and people were like, "You're crazy. You're like,
it's on
TV, the road all the time." And I'm like, but that's what I spent my money on, because I love Alabama football.
That's why I can't wait to watch the game with you tomorrow. I think that's just going to be an
it's going to be awesome.
At least I will be a calm person.
If it's Alabama LSU a week ago, 2 weeks ago, you're a different person.
Well, we wouldn't be communicating.
Laura Lee, I love the fact that I've pondered this question for 45 years and you just distilled it more eloquently than I've ever. I've written over a million words in books trying to get at this question.
She
answer
did it in 30 seconds?
Yeah. Yeah. So I got
there
that
you have it
for me.
Laura Lee, the Bama broker. Robbie Glenn joins us usually in person, but he can't. He had an appointment out of town, but he is with us. Robbie, how are you today? Well,
I think we need someone needs to reach over there and give a hug to Lars or something.
I know.
I mean,
he was unhuggable this morning.
I know. I talked to him. It sounded like he was crying still. I was like, "You okay, buddy?"
Like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yeah,
it hurts.
So get one
it
of the car bombs or a Guinness, you'll be okay. You'll be
out. I think Lars needs both.
But Robbie, let's put the question to you: just the nature of fandom, and you're a former Division I athlete, played baseball at Alabama, played in the minors. Why do we care so much about the teams that we follow?
As an athlete, I mean, I love just the competitive of the sport and following it. As just a fan, you get invested in it. I mean, you feel like you're a part of them, helping them win, helping them. You feel the losses like they do. You just care about something, and it's good to care about something that's not work or anything else like that. You know, it's sports.
You've explained something to us on air, I think maybe earlier in the week, and then again on the phone, but that's how what's going on in college football right now with just four teams is, you know, talk about the emotional and the fun part of sports. And explain that to our listeners.
Yeah, I mean, right now we've got the four-team playoff. You know, we're going to switch to the 12. If it was a 12-team this year, the excitement would not be happening right now that we're all talking about, because all these 12 teams would be in. I mean, we'd be talking about maybe the 14th and 13th trying to get in, like Lars said. But right now we're going to be watching Texas at Iowa State tomorrow, you know, Washington at Oregon State, you know, games we normally wouldn't follow, just to see if there's a loss in there and see who's going to slip in, if Bama can kind of move up. It's exciting. These next two, really 3 weeks, because everyone's got a championship, plus their rivals next week. This is fun football to watch, to see who slips up and who moves up and who can keep winning. So I'm invested in. I'm going to be watching almost every game on the TV.
Well, I generally watch them anyway. I'll be racing home to watch the Georgia-Tennessee game.
Which Tennessee should win?
Oh, I've got
Georgia.
But
that's
Georgia
the game that we would always watch.
Watch it anyway.
But Oregon State and
well, see, I would watch whatever the good games are because I'm a college football
Let's face it, and this is very true, and we should all be thankful. And I'm not talking that, you know, with tongue in cheek here. We should all be thankful for what the Pac-12 brought to the table this year.
Well, you know? If they keep us out of the playoffs, I'm not going to be thanking them. But
have faith.
I agree with Robbie about the excitement, but, you know, with the 12 teams, now we wouldn't be on the edge of our seats wondering if Alabama's going to get in. But what excites me about that is the opportunity for the first time in a long time that I can remember those top eight teams are all really good, and if we had an 8-team playoff, those 8 teams would be fun to watch.
All right, let's ask that question when we get back. Who might be the weakest link in that 8? Robbie, we got to run here. Come see us at Innisfree. We will We'll be here 2 weeks, okay? Maybe 2 weeks. I don't know.
Sounds good.
We'll see you. Thanks, Robbie. Thanks,
all right, buddy. All right. Bye, y'all.
All right, of the top 8, who would you write want Alabama to play? We'll discuss that. Plus, I've talked about it. Nick Saban has talked about it. It may be the only thing we really have in common. But being a grandparent is a significant life-changing moment, and you never realize it until it happens. And it has happened to one person that I never, ever thought I would say the words I'll repeat after this break.
Thompson is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as roll tide as houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at lauralee@thebamabroker.com. That's lauralee@thebamabroker.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky becoming mostly cloudy this afternoon, the high today 69. Cloudy tonight, the chance of a few passing rain showers, the low 54. Tomorrow becoming mostly sunny, the high 67. And Sunday, a sunny day with a high at 66. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3320 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From T-Town to the Plains. This is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
I think you may hear it in the background. There are children running around here. And I mean running. There's a couple of young men that are just tearing it up over there.
Looks like about a 3-year-old man. Yep. He's doing laps and he's having fun.
Got an Alabama shirt on. It's all good. I had 3 children, and now I have 3 grandchildren. I'm going to share something with you real quick because I think it's true. And then I was amazed by it. I think, and he's admitted, and it changed Nick Saban being a grandparent. And it changed me. I mean, it's totally different. But it changed one national celebrity that has just absolutely overwhelmed me. Did y'all read that Snoop is giving up smoke?
No.
Not happening. He put it out there. He said, and when asked about it, he said, "I'm a grandfather now. It's a little different."
Wow, I love that.
Let's see if he sticks with it.
But Here's what I thought immediately when I read that. I'm giving up smoke. Does that mean you give up gummies? Not that I wouldn't know anything about those things, but...
I mean, it's all the same, so if he's giving it up, then, you know...
What's the world to do without a stone Snoop Dogg?
I know, right?
Laura Lee, speaking of becoming a grandparent, what have you seen different out of Nick Saban this year? Just in his comportment, how he carries himself. And again, you are the incoming president of the Red Elephant Club. You deal with the university a lot. You have had a front row seat to Nick Saban his entire career. Is there anything different? And from what you see, is the national narrative, what you read, align with what you see personally?
No, it has never aligned with what we actually see here in Tuscaloosa and what we know that he does for the university, for the city of Tuscaloosa. I mean, it's just not a well-known fact about his Habitat houses and building those houses for the championships.
And Saban Center, right? Is that what it's called?
Well, the Saban Center. That's a lot. But what he does as far as community service within and giving money to the university and just, I mean, there is a long list of things that the rest of the world, they don't see. And one of the things is the man is funny. I mean, he is so funny. And obviously everybody sees how insightful he is, how he's always teaching, how he's, you know, on TV. He continues to coach even in blowouts or close to the ends of the games and stuff. But what I have seen differently from him this year is that he smiles more. And I like that. And at the beginning of the season, when you would see him smiling all the time, it was like he knew something that the rest of us didn't know.
Yeah.
And we thought, oh, well, it's the product he's about to put on the field, which we didn't see, but now we're seeing.
It was a canary swallowing smile.
Right. Kind of like the one after the, what am I trying to say? The onside kick.
At Clemson.
And that smile.
Yep.
And
he's like, I got you.
Yeah. And so he seems to be a lot more easygoing, but then all of us Bama fans breathed a sigh of relief when he started chewing the players out on the sideline. We were like, that's our coach. You know, but, yeah, so I like the fact that it seems to be a little bit more loose and easygoing with the players.
Matt is not distracted by a shiny object. He's distracted by 2-year-old kids.
Hey, roll tide, little man, roll tide. He is all jacked up on Mountain Dew. Probably not.
But so, Matt, what have you seen different out of Coach Saban this year?
You know, there are a couple of things, and we've talked about them but briefly. I want to go a little bit deeper on it. But setting mouse traps around the football complex, that's funny.
That's what I'm talking about, though.
And I don't know. He may have been doing that for 15 years.
The cuss jar that we talked about yesterday.
And that's the other
Chris
one.
Lowe.
That was my second part. Is the swear jar. And I think I read this morning where he said he thinks he's going to have to borrow some money from Miss Terry to pay it. But we're hearing about it. And again, that may have happened, you know, a decade ago. But the fact that we're now knowing about it shows Saban's peeling back a little bit of his own onion.
When's the last time Nick Saban paid a bill?
He's got it on auto pay.
Miss Terry.
I'm sure he has people.
You think
no, his people have people.
You think Miss Terry wields the credit, the debit card? What do you think their top end is?
I have a confession to make here.
Well, if you're going to make confessions, I guess 7 minutes before the show's over is a good time
to
do it.
So, I don't know if I told the story of losing my wallet, but anyway, I brought out a check the other day at a bar, and two of my friends who are in their 30s, they doubled over in laughter and called me a boomer.
You're not
because they've like never seen anybody write a check before. But I didn't have a credit card. I didn't have access to my cash. I mean, what are you supposed to do?
See if they'll take a check. A lot of people don't check.
When we were in college, we write checks to the bank.
Do you remember? I would write checks to, what was the corner right over there by Tutwiler? There was that little bitty convenience store.
The corner.
I wrote checks to the corner for $1.98.
Yeah.
Have you guys been in line at Publix when you're behind grandma who's writing the check?
Well, and I,
excuse
and
me.
The same,
it might be Karen.
I have checks, I have money. You know, it's...
We write checks for anything.
Right. Now, I don't write a lot of checks. My husband, literally, and I make fun of him, writes checks. Every Sunday, he is in his office doing bills and writing checks. And I'm like, dude, all you have to do is go online.
Now, my buddy Andres, who listens to this show, he was just like, Venmo.
Yeah.
Like, see, I have a Venmo account with money in it, and I'm not sure I could get to it.
I don't know.
I had to Venmo for my dad this week. He called me from Aspen. He was like, I'm buying this Christmas thing and from an individual, and she needs the money. So
I'm telling you, it was one of those frozen in time moments that I'll never forget. That is like a line of demarcation.
You're right.
I just got old.
You just got old.
I just got old.
Oh.
Because I pulled out a check.
Yeah. I don't know that my children even have checking accounts. I mean, I guess you do if you have a debit card, but...
Some people don't, and
I don't understand.
I mean, in real estate, and I'm like, okay, what do you mean you don't have a checking account? I mean, you know, come on.
There's a $500,000 money exchange. Do people write checks for that?
No, at the closing table, you bring a cashier's check, but that cashier's check is from your bank account at your bank. So I'm like, okay, you know, I don't understand not having a bank account and having at least a checkbook, but they don't write checks. They really don't write checks.
One of the books I wrote.
I have cash in my pocket.
C.C. Pyle was one of the famous first promoters, and he promoted Red Grange, and I wrote about him in my book, The First Star. But C.C. stood for cash and carry.
Does anybody know what that means anymore? I remember when I was a little kid, it would be like my dad would go to a wholesale for a lumber yard or something like that. It was cash and carry.
Yeah. C.C. Pyle. Look it up.
All right. Thank you, Laura Lee. I'll see all y'all in the morning, including Audio Bob. Thank you. And thank you to Noah Haynes as well, producing Big Noon Sports. Come by and see us, or come by all weekend at Ennis Free, the Irish Pub.
The Birmingham Racecourse Casino.